Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to start a new series about the Word of Faith movement. Some of you guys know exactly what that is. Others of you have never even heard of it. What exactly is the Word of Faith? How did it get started? Who's involved with this movement? And what are the general doctrines and teachings of this movement? So, the Word of Faith movement really doesn't have any real authoritative leader. There is no authoritative document, no book that we can go to get the official doctrines. What we have is a collection of people who are loosely affiliated with this movement, who have teachings that are very much in common with each other, and it's kind of a little gang of them. They all play off each other. They're all good. Most of them are good friends, although there are some bickering amongst them. They play off each other's doctrines, and there's this one upsmanship that happens where one will bust out some secret revelation from God, and then a year or two later, another one will come along and bust out something even more outrageous, playing off the same idea as previously revealed by one of the other ones. So I know that sounds a little confusing. We're going to get into this. And before we get too deep, I just want to say that I come from a hyper-charismatic church in my past. Good people, I love them. I believe that they love the Lord, but a lot of what they taught was absolute nonsense. It was utter nonsense. It was not found in the Bible. It was all secret revelation that supposedly was given to them by God and given to these other teachers. And I've seen so many people hurt by this movement. So many people that either lost their faith outright or just were flat looked down upon for, well, various things that we're going to get into as we go. So at times, I might raise my voice. I might get animated. I might get out of control. No, not Michael Bohm. No, but I guess this whole topic gets me going. It just gets me going. And the last series I did that flirted with this topic was the one on Todd Bentley. And I got so many responses from people who were part of this movement, as Todd Bentley is loosely affiliated with this Word of Faith movement. I had so many responses from people around the world about that series that I realized that I had to do this series and talk more about this. When I was part of this movement, I thirsted so bad for somebody to talk about it because I knew something wasn't right. You could just feel it. You're seeing these people get healed, supposedly, and you're thinking to yourself, why is it that every person that gets healed, you don't see the ailment that they go up there to get healed for. You can't readily see the problem they're getting healed. And then they supposedly get healed and you're thinking, wow, praise God. And that person's jumping up and down. But then for whatever reason, a few weeks later, they seem to be suffering from the problem they had before. But you never see somebody grow a new eyeball. You never see somebody grow a new leg. You never see somebody that you know had a major mental deficiency, some kind of, you know what I mean, guys, something that really handicapped them, and suddenly they're truly healed. You never see that. And these things eat at you. And these strange doctrines that some of you out there are part of these movements, and you love your pastors, and you really feel like they love the Lord, and then they bust out something silly, like Jesus didn't pay for your sins completely on the cross. He had to go to hell and suffer in hell for 3 days, taking on the sin nature of Satan for you to be saved. And you're going, what? Where's that in the Bible? But you don't want to question them. Because somehow you partially believe that they're men of God and that they are hearing from God. But then another side of you is saying, but I can't believe that. I don't believe that. So many of these things. What's up with this health and wealth gospel? Why are some of these pastors saying that if you're saved, you should be healthy? And if you're not healthy, you're not saved. And some of you, your mouth is hanging open going, no, nobody says that. Yes, they do. There are pastors out there that are saying this nonsense. And we're going to look at that as we go here. So anyway, I'm tipping my hand here. I just want you to know that I am going to get pretty worked up in this series, as I did when I talked about Todd Bentley, because, oh, man, this gets me mad. And at any time, as I read some of these quotes from these false teachers, at any time, if you feel like you need to push the pause button and plug your ears and scream, you have my permission, because you're going to hear some nonsense. You're going to hear some quotes that you're just going to be like, you got to be kidding me. Nobody would say that in their right mind. Well, these guys do. Okay. So yes, we're going to look at some wild and wacky stuff. And yes, I am going to name names. Okay. Paul said in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. In fact, in 2 Timothy 4:14, Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. All right, so Paul named names. Jesus named names. Guys, it's okay to name names. In fact, the word tells us to mark them and avoid them. We're going to mark some people today and throughout this series. And I'm hoping, friends, that you hear me out, you look into these things I'm saying, and you avoid these false teachers. And one more scripture while I'm at it here. Beloved, 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. All right, so we're supposed to be watching for these false prophets. We're supposed to believe not every spirit, but try those spirits. So again, throughout this series, we're going to be trying the spirits. We're going to listen to what these guys are saying, and gals, there's a couple ladies, and we're going to weigh it against God's word. Okay? And we're going to find out if it's from God or not. And so, like I said before, this movement doesn't have any specific authoritative writing. I mean, there's a couple magazines that carry a lot of this doctrine. Magazines like Charisma, Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland's ministry, Kenneth Hagin's magazine, The Word of Faith. You can get a lot of this doctrine. Oh boy, some of you are going to get mad now. You're going to find a ton of this doctrine on TBN and Daystar. In fact, just about everything you see on TBN is somehow affiliated with this movement. I hate to say it, guys, but it's the truth. We shouldn't even be watching that nonsense. There is so much silliness on TBN. Good grief. Paul Crouch. Oh, okay. Let's move on. Really quick, I'm going to buzz down a list of general doctrines that are accepted by this movement. Okay? Not all word faith teachers accept all of these doctrines, but most of them do. These are generally accepted amongst this word of faith movement. First and foremost, and I kind of mentioned this, the idea of positive confession. And I tell you what, guys, this one drives me nuts. All right, I'm already getting mad. It's the whole idea that you use your words to create the reality of the world around you. All right? Now, there's a little bit of equivocation that happens when people start talking about their words. Obviously, negative words can have an impact, a negative impact on certain things around you, and positive words can have a positive effect of things around you. I'm not going to get in too in depth on this just yet because I'm just doing a brief overview. But if you say silly things like, "Oh, I stink at talking to the ladies. I always get so nervous when I'm talking to them." Well, chances are, you're going to talk yourself into being even more nervous and a disaster around the ladies, if you know what I mean. But on the other hand, if you're saying things like, "I'm going to pass this test. Okay, I'm going to do this." And you are serious about it. It's not your words that make it happen, but it's that determination to make it happen. And you study your hind end off and you ace that test. It's not your words that did it. It was your positive attitude. All right. So, you know, hard work and positive attitude. That's what did it. These people will teach things like, or say things like, even though they're dying of cancer, "I am healthy. I'm doing great." They might be poor. They might be ridiculously poor, don't have a job, and they'll be saying things like, "I am wealthy. I own a Corvette. I am successful. I'm doing great." And it's like, dude, you're on food stamps. You're not doing very good. You're not doing good. Okay. It is this whole idea of the law of attraction. Oprah Winfrey, she promotes that book, The Secret. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but this whole idea that your words will influence the cosmic energies of the universe and attract what you are speaking into existence to you. Guys, this is witchcraft. Let's just say it how it is. This is witchcraft. You're trying to back God into a corner and manipulate him into doing what you want him to do. There's so much more to this positive confession thing, and I'm going off on it, and I need to stop. Let's move forward. Another doctrine that they often agree upon is this whole idea that we're little gods. All right, and if you're just going to stop at the point of saying, "I'm created in the image of God, and so, okay, in a weird kind of roundabout way, I'm kind of like a little one," okay, that still sounds pretty heretical, and I sure as heck wouldn't want to say it myself, but oh, whatever. Okay, but they take it so much farther. As far as your imagination can take it, I mean, they're saying things like, "I am," and "I am everything that Christ was." Okay, that's nonsense. That is blasphemy, and that's what we're going to get into later. Let's move on. A lot of them agree on the idea that the spiritual death of Jesus is actually what atoned for our sins. I mentioned that earlier, this whole idea that Jesus dying on the cross, the blood he shed on the cross was not enough. And apparently when Jesus said "it is finished," it wasn't finished. It wasn't enough. Jesus had to go to hell and suffer torment in hell. Okay, at the hands of Satan. What? Okay, I'm going to stop. You know what I'm saying? And after he had suffered 3 days of torment in hell, then our sins were paid for. That's when it really was finished. Okay, that's nonsense. We'll get into that later. And another thing we talked about earlier, this whole idea of revelation knowledge, this concept of God revealing secret doctrines, aka Gnosticism. I mean, that's what it is, guys. Let's face it. It's Gnosticism. It's this idea that God gives you some secret knowledge that other pastors, other teachers don't have. And so, just like we talked about there, we're this whole idea of the spiritual death of Jesus, him being tormented in hell for 3 days. You can't find that in the Bible. But you got people like Joyce Meyer saying that you're not saved unless you believe that. Gasp. Really? Yes. I'll read you a quote where Joyce Myers, she's the first one I just named a name. She actually said that you cannot be saved unless you believe not only in what Jesus did on the cross, but also that Christ suffered in hell for 3 days. And that's what I'm talking about. This whole God revealing, God revealing to you some kind of secret knowledge, some secret doctrine that then puts you in an elite position, and now you get to reveal it to your congregation and to the rest of the world in your books that you sell for lots of money. So, moving on, this whole gospel of health, the idea that, and we talked about this a little bit already, the whole idea that on the cross, Jesus also paid for your health. By his stripes, you are healed. We'll get into this a little more later, but they believe that if you're saved, you're going to be healthy. And there's different various levels of this, because the group I was with, they didn't say that way. They didn't say that if you're unhealthy, you're not saved, or something like that. It was a little different there, and I'll talk about that later. But it was still a gospel of health. And then, moving on, a gospel of wealth. God's intention for you is that you would be healthy and wealthy. And if you're saved, God's going to make you healthy and wealthy. Tell that to the Christians in parts of the world that are living in absolute poverty. They can claim wealth and health all day long, but friends, they're not getting it. Are we supposed to say they're not saved then? Good grief. Okay. See, I told you I was going to get worked up. Sorry, guys. Okay. So we've covered a little bit about the doctrines. I just want to say, I want to throw out some names here. People that are involved with this movement, you're going to see names and hear names like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Creflo Gimme a Dollar. Oh, I'm sorry, Creflo Dollar. Oh, his name is so appropriate. Anyway, okay. Jesse Duplantis, Todd Bentley's loosely affiliated with this movement, Rick Joyner, Paul Crouch, Jan Crouch, Marilyn Hickey, Paul Kane, John Avanzini, Joyce Meyer, Mike Murdoch, Rod Parsley, R.W. Shambach, T.B. Joshua. Oh my goodness, that guy. Okay, I'm going to stop. T.D. Jakes, and guys, even people like, there's going to be some gasps, even people like Joel Osteen and Beth Moore are loosely affiliated with this word of faith doctrine. They do not buy into all of the nonsense that we're going to go into, but they do have certain aspects of this word of faith movement integrated into their teachings and their doctrines. And so, guys, we need to avoid these types of teachers. All right, guys, let's stop right there. Tomorrow, we'll pick right back up where we left off. We'll talk about, get a little deeper here, looking at this Word of Faith movement and what they believe and what the Word of Faith teachers are actually saying. And so, with that, come up to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. Every day, guys, I post an article that goes along with these podcasts. So if you ever find that you would like a little bit more, as in maybe you'd like to read as well as hear, the article does not word for word follow what I'm saying in the podcast, but it does cover the main points so that you can read it and understand it Well, just learn it through repetition a little bit better. Sometimes you have to see and hear. Also, on the website, you can find a section called Website Exclusive Podcasts, and I'm adding about one, sometimes two podcasts to that section every week. They're just podcasts that you can't find on Sermon Audio because Sermon Audio charges a little bit for every podcast I put up on their website, so I hold a few back for my own website. Anyway, you can find those there as well. Also, you can leave comments and questions, and more of you are, and I appreciate that. I love that, actually. So with that, you can also hook up with me on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.